بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There's a very famous incident recorded in Besties Ever about three people that were traveling, and they took shelter in a cave on a rainy day. The entrance of the cave got blocked, so they discussed amongst themselves that let's make dua through the wasila of some good action that we have performed. So each one made dua. The one person made this dua that, O Allah Ta'ala, I had old parents, ailing and old, and I used to be grazing my goats, and whilst grazing them, then they had taken me far away in the jungle. So whilst returning the flock, I was delayed. It was my way that I would milk my goats, and then I would offer it first to my parents and then to my children. But because of this delay, when I returned home, they were already asleep. So I waited with the utensil in my hands the whole night until they got up, perhaps in the early part of the morning. I offered it to them, and thereafter I offered it to the children, and the children had been crying the whole night. But I did this that I preferred my parents over my children because of their love, because of their respect, whatever it may have been. So Allah Ta'ala opened the mouth of the cave. But there are two things in this hadith that I wish to discuss today by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. One is this, that respect to the parents and maintenance of good relationship is such an important thing that du'as get answered on account of that. Maintaining good relationship, parents, families, children, wife. But maintaining good relationship is a means of your du'as getting answered. Hazrat Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, someone came and related some incident to him, that some very unique thing has taken place. A youngster had been taken by the kafirs and imprisoned, and the mother was extremely restless over this, extremely restless. And it just happened that the chains just broke, thick chains just broke. So the guard that was appointed over them, he became very concerned, became aggressive towards this Muslim prisoner. So what's wrong with you? Why are you trying to break this chain? So the prisoner told him, see, look at the thickness of this chain. Is it ever possibly for a human being to break this chain? Anyway, he got 10 other chains to fasten and shackle this person up very tight. And in an hour's time, everything broke. Anyway, the chain broke, somehow he escaped, and he's returned home. So this entire incident was mentioned to Muhammad bin Munkadir, rahmatullah alayh. He inquired, is this youngster's mother alive? He said, yes. So just ask her whether she was making dua around that time. He said, yes, she was making dua around that time for her child. So this duas of the parents, and this good relationship with these parents, and provided it is selfless, it is not that I get some type of material gain, some type of material reward, then you see the blessings, you see the rewards, you see the goodness in it. Generally, our minds work in this way: what is there for me? What is in there for me? So really, we need to understand, and I impressed this point several times, I've impressed upon it, that we believe in the unseen. We will do, Allah Pak will see us right. We will do something, Allah Ta'ala will see us right. I was just reading on hadith today, that one sahabi says, Rasulullah ﷺ encouraged us to make sadaqah. So we were very poor at the time, very, very poor. The type of work that we used to do then was quite difficult, carry weight on our shoulders, deliver one person's parcel from this point to that point, his parcel from that point to this point. The whole day, we will get about half a kilo of wheat to give out in sadaqah. So we used to do that. But Rasulullah had encouraged, and on his encouragement we did it. Now the same sahabi says, but today, all of us that we are giving sadaqah then, now each one of us, we have got millions. We don't know what to do with it. But you see, at the beginning, it sounded as though there's no return coming in. But he continued with it, and today the reward of it is such that now we've got millions. Where the millions came in from, it came from this point. So according to the capacity, according to one's position, one carries on the good. With the yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala is seeing, and Allah Ta'ala will reward. A Muslim, a believer, must believe that Allah Pak is seeing, Allah Ta'ala will reward. Allah Pak is most compassionate, most kind. He will forgive our sins, and He will reward. So this was the first thing that I wish to relate to you, that the dua is getting answered with maintaining good relationship. Don't worry of how they are relating and responding. That all people, we know, all of us know, that women, even though they may be close to us, but they begin to lose it very easily. They can't contain themselves. They just break down. That's normal with them. They are weaker. And that is why you will find even those that talk about the gender equality, in spite of them making such a big hue and cry, I think in this whole soccer, not a one woman was playing here. At least, you know, just to support this, they had to have one woman to play in one of the teams. You know, at least you would have said, no, you are really meaning what you are saying. But not one woman is playing in this whole thing shows that definitely they are weak. And they don't allow them to play. So that means they're discriminating. One crime they have committed is they haven't supported the argument. And number two is discriminating. They're against women, you see. They're against women, so they didn't allow one single woman to play the games. Such a big injustice. And forget that even the referees that were refereeing the match, even they conned the woman. So unjust, biased and prejudiced towards women they are. Extremely prejudiced, you see. So we know, our Rasulullah told us from that time, so we don't need any new person coming to guide us that women is weaker. He told us that they are naqisa, they are weak. Intelligence, in their physique, they are weak. So they will remain like that, and they have to be treated like that. They are weak, they will remain like that, and they will have to be treated like that. They will say something's out of turn, sometimes they become impatient, they shout you, and maybe a small little thing. Now, Allah Pak has blessed you with superior intelligence. Now, should you respond to them in the way that they are talking to you? No. They will speak like that, they will talk out of turn. What's wrong with you? You're just waiting for me to die. And you'll celebrate after that. So they'll talk like this. Women are impatient, they'll talk these type of things. So you must just take it in the stride. And you talk to them in that way. Say, hey, you, I can't get a replacement for you. Even if you die, but I can't get a replacement for you. Now they feel, you know, this man is waiting for he likes me. The different thing is just a little bit of a game. But now you tell, you know, you replying to them like how they speaking to you, then obviously you also have lost your intelligence. Allah Pak has given you superior intelligence that you must think, you must reason. And then don't you answer them like how they are talking to you. So this is the first thing, that the answering of duas getting answered. In Ramadan we want this to happen, that our duas get answered. A simple prescription, Rasulullah has shown us the dua. Do this, maintain good relationship. Your close, immediate ones, distant ones, but maintain the good relationship. If you can't talk to them all the time, you don't have to talk to them, and don't get into heavy discussions, but just assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, go and meet them at a funeral, nikah, walima, aqiqah, eid, or something. Make an occasion and go and meet them. Those that are a little bit more deserving, take some gifts for them. Rather than giving grocery hampers to others, give it to them. You don't want to give hampers to others, but it's your immediate relatives or distant relatives, give it to them, your reward is doubled. In the meanwhile, your du'as are getting answered. See? So we need to consider these things. What one is your du'as are getting answered, and number two is your rewards are getting doubled. The second thing that we need to understand in this hadith is that this person that was grazing these goats, right, this is a very authentic hadith. All the books of Kitab, all the books of hadith have got this hadith. It is Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Abu Dawud, all have got it. So it's a very, very authentic, very reliable hadith. So if we look at it and try and rationalize and reason in this hadith, then a simple solution to this whole problem was that he could have given one utensil of milk to his children, let them have it, enjoy it, and sleep the night, and one utensil for his parents. But he didn't go that way. I mean, he's got a whole flock of sheep, so it can't be that he's just got one small utensil in the house. There must be more than one utensil. If he's got a whole flock of sheep there, then there must be some additional utensil. And easily he could have sorted it out. But now what prompted him to do this? Not to feed his children and feed his parents first that were ailing and old. So the only thing that comes to my mind is the respect and the love that he had for his parents forced him. Although the Sharia will tell you that you need to show love and respect to your children as well. Like you show respect to your parents and you need to show love towards them as well. But now, sometimes it happens that one is overwhelmed and overcome by situations. For the love you have for your parents, for the respect that you have for them, the emotions go very high. And when the emotions go very high, then you lose your judgment. You can't reason so accurately. But the catalyst in this is something good. What is the catalyst? The catalyst is love. Catalyst is respect. Catalyst is obedience to the parents that is prompting him and that is pushing him into this direction that is my parents and I need to do this for them. So he's ignored his children for that moment, but not for any bad reason. Not because he had any malice, any type of hatred, any type of grudgy feelings, any type of adawat and dushmani, nothing like that. It was for good reason. It was prompted for good reasons. So now we must understand the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's system is like this. That Allah ta'ala likes to see truth. He likes to see loyalty. He likes to see love. Right? Truth, love, loyalty. He likes this. So the thing that prompted him to behave like this was his love, his loyalty, his respect. Allah Pak also appreciates it. So when a person has been loyal, he's been truthful, he's been honest, he tried to bring about a solution in a situation, but his reasoning had failed him. His reasoning had failed him, then Allah Ta'ala will overlook his situation. He was loyal, he was respectful, he did to the best of his understanding. But his understanding couldn't take him any further than this point, though he made a mistake here. The mistake was that he should have made some consideration for his children, like he was respectful to his parents. But it was prompted out of good niyat, love and muhabbat, loyalty and respect. It was prompted and this was the good feeling that had brought this about. So in that he made a mistake. So Allah Ta'ala had overlooked this as well. You understood? So loyalty, respect, muhabbat for your senior, for your elder is such an important thing. And we disregard this thing. Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, rahmatullah alayh, he says, I traveled this path. I traveled the length and the breadth of this path of righteousness and piety. I traveled right through. And I found the quickest and the shortest method. You know, all of us want the method that is quickest, right? All of us. Get there, but get there at the shortest time. You hear about the train that they took out in Johannesburg now, from Marlborough right to the Johannesburg airport, it takes about 15 minutes. 15 minutes, you are there already. 160 k's an hour is moving. So that's every person's wish, his every person's desire. He wants to do things in the quickest manner. In a fraction of a second, he must move. He must go. So now, Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullah is saying that, see, I have walked the length and the breadth of this path that takes you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I found three things that will complement and that will assist you to go in the speediest manner, in the fastest manner. It will allow you to go in the fastest of time, in the quickest of time. Three elements I have found that will take you very easily and very swiftly. I'll mention this three now, then I'll come back to this whole incident, inshallah. One, he says, ta'zeemu amrillah, anything that relates to the command of Allah Ta'ala, to the respect of Allah Ta'ala, and we show it the fullest respect, anything that relates to Allah Ta'ala, whether it is ulama, whether it is kitabs, masjid, madrasa, azan, namaz, halal, haram, we don't make a joke of it, we take everything seriously, it's the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and we go that route. So ta'zeemu amrillah, that's the first. And number two, ash-shafqatu bi khalqillah, and to show compassion and love for the creation of Allah Ta'ala. No matter what person it may be, who it is, but we show tolerance and compassion towards him, no matter who it is. And number three is adherence to the sunnah. So I found these three elements to be so powerful, so dynamic, that they will lead you in the shortest time, in the easiest manner, and in the safest manner it will take you to Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ. This Qur'an leads you in the path that is quickest, that is straightest. You know, the straight line is the quickest, isn't it? It is the shortest, it is the quickest. So, this is a prescription that will take you, and it will take you in the swiftest of time to your goal. So we are coming to that aspect of loyalty and respect, you know. Loyalty, respect, muhabbat, etc. And it's such an important ingredient. And when I reflect in contemporary times, I find that what we are losing out now today is the same aspect. Respect, loyalty, honesty. Man can be very good, but he's not honest. He doesn't honor his word. He doesn't respect his word. Otherwise, he's a very good person. Outwardly, everything good about him. But he can't respect his word. There isn't that aspect of loyalty. The husband is making similar complaints about the wife that she's not loyal. In my absence, then she's phoning here and there. And I see her cell phone and she's doing this and this, whatever. Right? And the wife is also complaining similarly to about the husband that in my absence, he's doing this. And I just check the phone and this are the numbers that are hidden under some men's names. So the wife has got the same grievances, same complaints. And the husbands also have the same complaint. The aspect that is missing in our lives is this aspect of the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have got this consciousness, this awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you don't have these things happening. But without this consciousness and without this awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make wrongs, and we make wrongs in a big way. Because that's the very cornerstone. That's the thing that's going to motivate, that's the thing that's going to lead. You know, around 64, 65, my parents had made Hajj. So, on the return, they were discussing of one Muslim, perhaps from India or Pakistan, and extremely wealthy, very, very wealthy. Around that time, he had a whole fleet of ships, 20 or some odd ships. Now, that ship, Karanja and all this thing, you're taking 2,000, 3,000 passengers, besides the goods and whatever else. So massive things where a whole plane can land. So you can imagine now what this man must be like, how wealthy he was. But they met this person here, him and his wife. Wife was a doctor and he was a fleet owner. But when they got talking to these people, they found that this man was as miserable as ever. The man, in spite of his wealth, in spite of his good health, in spite of his position in community, but he was ever miserable, making tawaf and he's crying away, So they got talking to him, what happened? Boy? You're not short of anything, you're not short of your wealth, you're not short of your position, you're not short of anything. What are you crying for? So he says, I feel very embarrassed, but I'm disclosing this to you. That you see, I got married and we were very happy. And I had an ailing mother. And everything was going very well, but then she couldn't take my mother. So she insisted that we should go on our own. I have my respect for my mother, but now my wife, what do I do? So I separated. Mother felt very hurt. In the way we did things and we moved away, she felt very hurt. He says, from that day till now, it's about 20 years, I haven't seen one day where I was cheerful and happy. Outwardly, things had worked out for me, outwardly. But it's like, it's an empty shell. There's no happiness. There's no fulfillment. You know, you do complete a day, you feel, no, I fulfill the day. I have found the satisfaction for the day. I don't find any fulfillment, any pleasure, any inner enjoyment I don't find. I don't experience it at all. So you see this, Allah Pak likes this, loyalty, love, respect. No matter what they're doing and how they are treating you, but our duty is to be respectful. Our duty is to be loving, caring, loyal and honest all the time, no matter what happens. We can't take any excuse. Parents, even they hit you, they smack you, they whip you, whatever it is, but it's your parents. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so compassionate and loving towards his ummah, he understood that there may be that one individual in this ummah that wasn't good towards his parents, right? So he made a provision for him as well. That, all right, if you've done this, then make dua for them regularly. Go to the grave, or otherwise at home, but make dua for them. Recite some Quran Sharif, make dua for them regularly, give some sadaqah, whatever it is, and you will be counted as an obedient child. So if you have missed out, you have lost out, then don't think now that the road has been closed out for you. But you, where there is a way, where there is a way, where there is a will, there is a way. But now you don't want to do it yourself, then you don't blame Allah Ta'ala that the road has been totally blocked out for me. Allah Pak has kept the road open. You try, Allah Pak will open the way for you. We are coming to that incident of Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullah Alayh, and I explain that he says that these are the three elements that will take you in the swiftest of time. Okay. Swiftest of time. So one is this aspect of shafqat, showing love and compassion. And one is, I made a mistake, but the second one is ajizi, humility, to humiliate yourself completely, to humble yourself and to humiliate yourself as much as you can, to humiliate yourself, to humble, not humiliate, but humble yourself, not to disgrace yourself, but to humble yourself. So as much as possible, you humble yourself. As much as you can. In this world, you will have these type of trying situations coming up, but in proportion to the humility that you have brought into yourself, you will find Allah Ta'ala will bless you with the strength to take on the situation. You know, they talk about the Mi'raj, right? So one aspect that I wish to just impress upon. Rasulullah Pasam was taken to the heights of respect, to the heights of honor, right? From the seventh heaven to the Sidratul Muntaha, that's the eighth heaven, Sariful Aqlam, that's the ninth heaven, and the tenth heaven, Dana wa Tadalla Fakana Qaba Qawsainya Wadana, where he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in person. So that was the tenth. So this was the 10 places Rasulullah Pasam had visited on that night. The seventh heaven, then Sidratul Muntaha, and Sariful Aqlam, where the lower Mahfuz, etc., is being recorded by the angels. And number 10, Dana Fatadalla, where he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where Jibreel al-Islam also says that, I can't move beyond this point. If I move beyond this point, I will be burnt to ashes. I can't move beyond this point. But in this whole incident, I feel in my own little naive and incomplete understanding, I feel that the most important aspect here is Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi, who had taken his slave by night. So Rasulullah Pasam had perfected that servitude. He perfected that slavery. He showed the degree of humility. When he had perfected it, he brought it to the highest of levels. Then Allah Ta'ala had taken him to the pinnacles of glory. You see, when he had perfected that humility, he brought it to the highest of level, Allah Ta'ala had taken him and ascended him to the highest of glories. Now, this abdiyat is that most important thing. That abdiyat is the most important thing. Allah Ta'ala grant us that ability to understand the importance of this abdiyat. simple incident that I relate now and then. A person bought a slave, just to illustrate what is abdiyat. You know. So he asked the slave, what job will you do? Whatever you command. And what's your name? Whatever you say. And where will you sleep? What place you provide. What clothing you'll wear? Whatever you provide. And what will you do and what you'll refrain from? Whatever you command and whatever you forbid. And what will you eat? Whatever you provide. So the master was an understanding person. So he says, you know, may Allah Ta'ala reward you abundantly. Really, I didn't know till this point what is the real meaning of slavery. Today I understood what is the real meaning of slavery. What you provide, I will give. I will eat. I will be happy with that. What name you give me, I will be happy with that. What you ask me to do, I will do. I will be happy with that. What you ask me from to refrain from, I will refrain from that. Where you ask me to sleep, I will sleep. Whether you ask me to work on a Sunday or a Monday, I am your slave. I must just conform. You know, I must just conform. I must have no disagreement. Not intellectually, not visibly, not verbally, and not physically. In any way, I mustn't have any hesitation, any reservation, any resistance. No resistance. You have said it, I'm doing it. It must just fit in, you know, like how your hands or a knife is just getting into soft butter. It just goes through. There's no reservation, absolutely no hesitation. It is going through one way. Allah Pak has said it, I'm doing it. Allah Pak has said it, I'm doing it. Yeah. So this is that level of perfection you have come to. But that comes with that extreme level of humility. Now this humility is easy to speak about, but really it's not as easy as it appears. It is easy to speak about it. But just go home and let your wife give you two words and see what happens. See? Immediately, if you don't say anything because of Mufti Sahab, what he said, but you'll see the redness on the ears straight away. Okay? You will definitely see the redness in the ears. You'll see the twitch in the lips. You'll see it. You'll see it. Straight away you'll see it. There maybe it takes time for you to really get worked up and say something, but that's going to be the immediate response. Here is now what Allah Pak wants me, how He wants me to remain. She's told me something, or I went to the shop and the manager told something, or I was waiting in the queue there and someone cut the queue, and how did I respond? How did I respond? What did I do? What was the level of my tolerance? What was the level of my humility? So he says that the first element that is the vehicle to take you up is this humility. You just annihilate. I'm a slave of Allah Ta'ala. I don't really deserve anything. What He gives, it's His favor. It is not what I deserve. It is His favor. He's given me, it's His favor. Okay. A Muslim, generally, he enjoys happiness in this world because of two reasons, right? One is because of contentment. Whatever Allah Pak has provided, it is His grace. Whether you're sitting in a big hotel and eating a 12 or 20 course meal, or you're sitting at home and eating dal chawal or any small little simple meal, bhaji eating, but you're eating with the imagination that Allah Pak is feeding me. Allah Pak has fed me. He's come. His heavens have worked. The clouds have worked. The earth has worked. The malaika have worked. So many of the forces of Allah Ta'ala has worked. And Allah Pak is providing me with this type of meal, with this type of love and compassion. Can you imagine the type of enjoyment that you will have here? And here you come to a 20-course meal, but no imagination, no reflection, no awareness that it is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no maja in that food. There is no enjoyment in that food. Like there is food there, but it's not spiced. It's food, but it's not spiced. Can you eat that? Boiled food, absolutely boiled, no spice at all. Can you eat it? Unless you're starving now, saving your life, something else. But you don't enjoy that food. So this is with that imagination, that frame of mind that is coming from my beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is provided. So this is the one reason why the Muslim goes through inner happiness, that Allah Pak is providing. And Allah Pak has given me in spite of my mistakes, in spite of my weakness, what wrong I'm doing the whole day. But my Allah Pak still loves me. He still loved me. He didn't write me off. He said, you're a write-off, you're a failure in your life. He didn't write me off in spite of my weakness. So how merciful and how loving is my Allah Ta'ala? So that is the one thing that brings that happiness to the Muslim. And the second thing that brings that happiness to the Muslim is the belief of continuity. If there is some suffering and difficulty, it's coming with a reward. That person that is working in your shop and you're paying him 20,000 a month, right? And someone tells him, hey, what's the need of you struggling like this? You know, the soccer is going on and all that. Oh, so you can take a break for 2-3 months. What's wrong with you? So you will consider him as your worst enemy because he doesn't have a love for you. He doesn't have a love for your wife and children. He doesn't have a love for you to progress in life. That's why he is discouraging you. Had he had a love for you, for your wife and children, and for your progress, then he would have encouraged you. You can see in your struggle, in your difficulty, you can see what comes at the end of the month. So you have the belief of continuity. Today, for today, there is tomorrow. For a month, for the beginning of the month, there is the month end. So you can see that continuity, you can see that picture. And because this person doesn't see that picture, he's naive, he's unintelligent, therefore he's advising you in this manner. Oh, he is an enemy. He doesn't want me to get that type of reward, therefore he's advising me in this manner. So you consider that person as your enemy. So the Muslim has that belief of continuity. For today, there is tomorrow. And that tomorrow, 20,000 coming, that makes him forget everything. It's only 20,000 peanuts, huh? Not even peanuts, mosquito's wing. And I don't know what fraction of the mosquito's wing you got. And you're holding onto so tightly, mosquito's wing. Hold tightly. How tightly we are grasping to it. We are holding it. It's our life. You know, Allah Pak is most forgiving, right? Don't misconstrue this. Right? Don't quote this out of context. Some people are sincere in this world, right? And they made some slips, they hurt someone. Allah Pak will forgive him also. They were sincere, they asked for maaf, they tried whatever they could, Allah Pak will forgive them as well. And the example that came to my mind, this is on Hadith in Ibn Majah, but the example that came in my mind was a little boy, 3-4 years of age, and he's playing with his motorcycle, you know, and someone grabbed the motorcycle and ran away. So that little boy is swearing and he's shouting and he's ranting and he's raving and all that. In the meanwhile, his loving father came in and he saw the child ranting and raving and crying and swearing that person who's taken the motorcycle away. So the father has bought him 50 real motorcycle of the highest level, you know, 500,000 each. Now everything's, hey, my plastic motorcycle, what did you do with it? Wallah, you know, this whole world is not even that plastic motorcycle. Compared to what Allah Pak has got. What Allah Pak has got, this is not even a plastic motorcycle. You will get embarrassed over yourself. What I was crying over? When Allah Pak starts giving you that reward, then you will feel embarrassed over yourself. So those people that have stumbled, mistakes here and there, that hurt someone, though they didn't do it intentionally, and they asked, they tried their best to try and cover up whatever it was, Allah Pak will forgive them. Inshallah. But I say you don't take advantage over this. Qiyamah Day is a different story. It's a different story. But you try and cover up. You made in the process of your work, whatever it is, you have hurt someone, you have told something to somebody. Try your best to cover up, prize or some love, some hug, whatever it is. But show him something. Show him something that you have convinced him that no, I'm remorseful and really I'm hurtful for what I've done. Show him something. You see, Allah Pak will forgive. Allah Pak can give that 50 motorcycle, 5 million motorcycles to this person for in lieu of that one little small broken plastic motorcycle of yours, right? For the small broken motorcycle of yours, Allah Pak can give him 5 million. So how easily will it be for him to forgive? So take this and forget this. Say, hey, I don't even talk about this thing here. When you're offering meals, I don't even talk about this thing. So this is the first aspect. The second aspect is showing love and compassion to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They all belong to Allah ta'ala, really. We all, and really, the only thing that counts in the court of Allah ta'ala is your level of taqwa. What level of taqwa? Akramakum indallahi atqakum. Otherwise, you don't have any position in His sight. It is the level of taqwa, the level of righteousness, that elevates you, that exalts you in the sight of Allah. Otherwise, your worldly position means nothing to Him. The lineage means nothing to Him. خَلَقْنَاكُمْ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلْ Families and lineages and nationalities, etc. It doesn't mean anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing. Whether you're South African, whether you're American, English, whatever you are, but in the sight of Allah is nothing, not worth mentioning. أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ It's your level of taqwa that counts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what Allah Ta'ala really appreciates is how loving and caring can you be to my creation. In spite of their shortcomings, in spite of their weaknesses, in spite of whatever they are doing, but you are loving and caring towards them, I want to see this much. So this is the second thing that brings you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, the love and the muhabbat. And one aspect I had spoken about was ta'zeemu amrillah, anything that relates to the things of Allah ta'ala. Whether it's azan, whether it's namaz, whether it's an old man, old Muslim, whether it's a masjid, whether it's a kitab of Allah ta'ala, whatever it is, but you are showing love and respect to it. It's an alim that is moving. You don't make it your business to look out for his faults or to look out for what he's doing. He's engaging in trouble and problem. Don't look out for that. Like you didn't see it. Don't even talk about it. Don't bring it as a topic of discussion. Like, for example, may Allah ta'ala forbid, right? Allah ta'ala protect us, guard us all. If it was your one and only daughter, Allah ta'ala protect, I say it a billion times over, but if she had fallen into some wrong habits, will you go and advertise it in the world? You will hide it as much as possible. Hey, you know, it's my respect. It's my reputation. I can't go and... So show some respect to that man. He's got his mistakes, he's got his weaknesses, but just show it. Just try and cover it up. As long as he's not doing it openly, you know, flagrant and openly, is advertising is wrong, he's not doing it, then just try and wipe it down. Like you would like your own child to be hushed, you know, if he did any problem, if there was any mistake, you would like it to be hushed. So this is also the man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's been teaching, he's been serving the deen of Allah ta'ala. He's made mistake, he's a man, but just wipe it off, don't worry about it. You don't make it your business to go and discuss these things. So I quoted this Sayyid Ahmad Rifai rahmatullah alayh with a purpose, you see. Quoted this, but now I wish to impress upon you and make you understand what was his position in the sight of Allah ta'ala. So they say this same Sayyid Ahmad Rifai rahmatullah alayh, he is now around the time of Imam Ghazali, Hazrat Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh. He's around that time, around the 5th, 6th century of Islam. So he says that Allah Ta'ala had bestowed positions to all the Ahlullah of the earth of that time. All the Ahlullah and all godly people, Allahwala people, Allah Ta'ala had bestowed them with positions and gifts. So when it came to my turn, so I was also asked, what do you want? What do you ask for? Everybody asks for something. He wants to become Abdal, he wants to become Kutub, he wants to become Sadr Mufti, he wants to become Qazi Sahib, he wants to become Imam Sahib. So whatever he wants to become, Allah gave whoever, whatever position they were asking for, they were given. Now it came to myself, Allah asked me also, what do you want? What do you ask for? What do you want? So he says, I told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Uridu an la urid, wa akhtaru an la akhtar. Said, I don't want to have any choice of my own, Allah Ta'ala. I don't want to take my option myself. I don't want to make a choice of my own. I want you to decide. You must decide. I can't choose. My understanding is limited. I can see to a certain point. Beyond that, I can't see. I don't know what's good for me. So Allah Ta'ala, I don't want to make this decision. I want you to make the decision for me. You see this abdiyat, you pay heavily for this abdiyat. In this world, how much don't we desire for position, notability, recognition, acknowledgement? How much don't we desire, whether it is dini or dunyavi? But we want this type of thing. And here what he says, uridu an la urid, akhtaru an la akhtar. I don't want any position, any recognition, nothing. I mustn't have a choice of my own. You must decide for me, Allah Ta'ala. So he says, فَآتَانِيَ اللَّهُ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ. Allah Pak had bestowed me with such a gift that he hadn't given anybody in that time, in that period, and in that era. Nobody was blessed with the type of blessing Allah Ta'ala had blessed me, Allah Ta'ala had honored me with. Now the same Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, same Sayyid, just to make you understand, see this man is quoted this, so he's not an ordinary person. He has come to Medina Munawwara and he is in the presence of Rasul Ibasam at the Rose Mubarak. And then he goes into a frame of mind of love. You see, when you're in love, and deeply in love, then you can't contain yourself. As much as you want to hide that love, you know, Qasida Burda, what he says, as much as you want to hide your love, but your eyes will give you up. As much you want to speak a lie, right? But your wife can notice that the tongue, there's something wrong with it, with the lips. You can make it out. Own fully jaja. Something is happening. You know, there's a lie that's going on somewhere there. They can make it out. So, he was at the Roza Mubarak. And then he couldn't contain himself any longer. He says, when I was back home in Baghdad, or wherever I was, when I was at home, روحي كنت أرسلها تقبل الأرض عني وهي نائبتي. When I was there at home, then I used to send my soul to convey my salams. I used to send my soul to convey my salams to you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فهذه دولة الأشباح قد حضرت. Now I've come in person, Ya Rasulullah. Now, فَمْدُدْ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ. Ya Rasulullah, now stretch out your hands. Let me kiss your Mubarak hands. Al-Mu'at Tamis Abraham relates this incident and he says, at that time, there were approximately 10,000 people in the masjid that witnessed the Mubarak hand of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anyway, he realized, okay, now the whole world is going to show him so much of respect and recognition because they saw it. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah also was there around at the same time. So he says, didn't you envy, someone asked him, didn't you envy this occasion? Didn't you envy this occasion? He says, you're asking me if I envy this occasion. Even the malaika in the heavens were envying this occasion. Even the malaika in the heavens, they were envious of this occasion. So he realized, now this is what's going to happen to me. People are going to show me this respect and all that. And then it's possible that I lose it. I can't contain myself. So what he did, he went right into the entrance of the masjid. Everybody has to come out. Right. So he says, whoever has witnessed this, I implore them in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they must place their foot over my neck and pass out of the masjid. People weren't acquainted with this buzurg. They didn't know the buzurg. And they did as he had commanded. Because he had commanded them, imploring the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they did all this. Came to Hazrat Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah, he said, no. They asked him, but why? He said, these people that have been doing this, they were blind. You think, I don't know what this man's position is. I can't, how can I do such a thing? If I had ever done this, knowing his positions, the malaika would have broken me to pieces. See this person's position. Now we talk about humility and we talk about love and compassion, forgiveness and tolerance. This is the month of Ramadan approaching. We must learn, we must train ourselves in that. So the same Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, rahmatullahi alayhi, one person saw him in the dream that he's in Maqam al-Sidq. Maqam al-Sidq is a very high position. After the Anbiya alayhi Muslim, it's a very high position, Maqam al-Sidq. Maqad al-Sidq, Quran Sharif speaks about. So he saw that this man here, Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, rahmatullah, is in Maqad al-Sidq. So he wanted to become his student and murid. See him in such a high position that outwardly it doesn't seem that anybody can, any human being besides the Nabi, reach over such a position. So anyway, he went up to Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, rahmatullah. Now, whilst he's waiting for him, he saw some sounds, you know, heavy sound coming out. He's on the other side of the wall and he's hearing some heavy sound, beating sound, someone is shouting. Anyway, he got to know that it was the Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, his wife, that was beating him up. And beating him up with thick pieces of wood, you know, firewood, thick piece of firewood, and she was beating him. So now he just excused himself for a moment. He went home and he got about 100,000, 200,000. Hazrat, take this and just get this woman out of your way. Give it to her. I will get you sorted out. You are this buzurg here, and this woman is treating you like this. She's not the only girl in the world. This is not what she thinks. She's the only woman in the world. Get her out of the system. I'll sort you out. I'll resettle you. So Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Ramzana, imagine what he'd been through, the ordeal he'd been through. The answer that he gives, he says, you know, had I not tolerated her, you wouldn't have seen me in Maqad al-Sidq. See, you saw me in this position here. I was enjoying this lofty position in the sight of Allah Ta'ala on account of this tolerance and endurance. Had I not been enduring and tolerating this, and I wouldn't have been in this position. See? So, you see, what is not by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is evaluated the highest. What is not by Allah ta'ala is endurance, right? In the heavens, you find anything like endurance. You find anything like humility. No, there's no such a thing like humility there. You don't have to go and annihilate and humble yourself there. It's just joy, enjoyment, happiness, fulfillment of pleasure, nothing else but fulfillment of pleasure. So this thing doesn't exist there. So the thing that doesn't exist is the most valuable. Like a diamond is not commonly found. Now because it is not commonly found, so scarce, therefore the price of it just goes. So this humility and the selflessness, tolerance, humility, selflessness, this is the most valuable thing. Allah has brought us here to see how tolerant we can be, how tolerant, how enduring we can be, how humble we can be. Otherwise, as far as ibadah is concerned, there is no deficiency of ibadah in the heavens. There isn't just a four-finger place in the heavens, but there is a farishta, there is an angel that is bowing down its forehead in sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as ibadah is concerned, there's enough going on there. As far as people reciting the tasbih of Allah ta'ala, there's enough going there. But what is definitely not going on there is tolerance and humility. So this is what Allah ta'ala wants to see. How is the level of tolerance? What is the level of humility? So accordingly and proportionately, Allah ta'ala elevates you. So these are the three elementary things we spoke about. Humility, right? Tolerance. Things that relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show respect. Any small thing, big thing, according to our understanding, but things that relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kitab of Allah ta'ala, you set it up nicely, you kissed it. Not, to kiss it is not an act of ibadat, but you show as a mark of respect. As a mark of respect, you kissed it, you place it near your eye. You see the children nowadays, they got the Quran Sharif below the waist, then nicely. You know now you can't go and fight with them. You're going to fight, it's going to be a problem with them. So you got some sweets in your pocket. We have to do work, you see. We have to do work, but don't fight and shout. Today, things have gone in such a way that you can't shout, you can't fight, unless it's your own child. So you got some sweets in your pocket. Take her on seat. Oh, boy, how nice you're reading Quran Sharif. MashaAllah, what are you doing? You know, you'll get more sawab. Hold your Quran near your heart. Now you have won the child, you have told him, you have passed the message, but in a loving manner. Because you know, the other way, if you're going to go the other route, it's going to cause a problem, it's going to cause a complication for you. So go the route where it is free of any complication. So you can see that there's a problem going on, the children are doing this type of thing, but now how to win those children? We saw someone coming into the masjid, for example, and he doesn't have a topi. Now don't go and tie him straight now, what's wrong with you? Salafi now. You know, you people don't have any respect. I don't want to fight with that person. Don't go on through that fighting. You see, some of our people, now we've got that little bit of knowledge, we're going to show him now. Let's press him down. Otherwise, get out of the masjid. No, don't do that. He's coming to the masjid, he's doing one good thing. Now befriend him somehow, make salam to him. How are you? Come and have a cup of tea. Now he's seen a different side of Islam. The Islam, there is love also, there is compassion. There is warmth in Islam. So then he'll say, hey, why must I be so stubborn and remove my topi and perform my namaz? Why must they be so stubborn? They are so humble, so respectful, so loving, and they are so warm. Can't I be also warm? It may not happen overnight, but over 6 months, 1 year, now he will see that you people have got warmth. But now we go on that hard note, fighting note, aggressive note, this way or highway. It doesn't happen. He'll go highway. He'll leave the masjid then. So now they come to the masjid, they're fighting with me. They are speaking out against me. They are fighting against me. Then that musalli that was the regular musalli, he also leave the masjid. So we don't have that fighting note. But in the areas that we see that there's disrespect, they're not showing the required and desired amount of respect, then we start it off, maybe passing a masjid or a madrasa. Allah commands Musa alayhi salam, إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ فَخْلَعَنْ عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى. You are treading holy grounds. So remove your shoes. So we understand with respectful holy grounds, then we show respect to that. Now it's a madrasa, it's a holy ground. Labak's name has been taken, Rasulullah's name is taken. Now we're going past there, we're coming there calmly, we're not making a noise, masjid, we're not hootering. We're not making a hue and a din there. That is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to show respect, or at least the respect of those people that are engaged in some type of ibadah. Like we show respect to the hospital, that we may not inconvenience that patient. All the more why the house of Allah ta'ala, we need to show that respect. Now these are elementary things, simple elementary things. We're going to the house, we take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillah, Bismillah idhakhalna, coming to the house, into the masjid, we're reading it a little bit loudly. That you're growing up children, that you are coming into the masjid with, they also know that when you come into the masjid, then you read this dua. Leaving the masjid, you're reading it a little bit aloud. So these small little children that are listening to you, they also understand that this is how you leave the masjid. You're entering with the right, leaving with the left. Small little things of respect and adab. Who knows that these same very little things that you consider little may be the means for you to get into Jannah. Small things. So this three aspects, and the last thing I explained was the adherence to the sunnah. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.